I'm Duncan MacLeod.
And I'm Craig Wilson. Wait, that's not right.
Let's try that again, Duncan.
Right, I'm Duncan MacLeod.
And I'm Craig Wilson. This is Talk Central, episode 75, for Friday, 18th of January, 2013.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, we chat about the French.
And as always, we pick the week's biggest winner and biggest loser, and Craig and I will pick our product or app of the week. We'll be back right after we've paid the bills.
This is it. 2 years of work, 10,000 pages, two relationships, and one epic promotion. Time for champagne? I think so.
Don't get ambushed. Call for backup. Get Recovery Vault from Vox Telecom, your off-site hosted backup solution. Store and save all of your data online and in real time for half the price of an on-site server. Recovery Vault from Vox Telecom. Backup for your business. SMS 31965 and we'll call you right back. Standard rates apply.
Welcome to Talk Central. How's it, Craig?
Yeah, good. Thanks for you, Duncan.
Good, good. Rainy Friday afternoon, and apparently we're in for some heavy rain this weekend, so good weekend to catch up on movies, I guess.
And the burgeoning inbox.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, it seems to be the only time I get to my inbox these days is on a Saturday morning.
It's on the time off, yeah, indeed.
Anyway, this week, as you said, and we said in the intro, it's been all about the French and their invasion of South Africa.
It has. They're coming thick and fast with all sorts of offerings, aren't they?
Indeed. Orange in particular, Orange being the key brand of France Telecom, the partially state-owned French incumbent telco. And Orange, I think as many of our listeners will know, has operations all across Africa, mostly Francophone Africa.
Indeed, and expanding, it seems. We've seen they're talking about entering Liberia and Togo and all sorts of places, and a couple of Middle Eastern countries as well.
Yeah, they're clearly very keen on expanding outside of the 35 or so markets that they're in at the moment. And so they've identified South Africa as the key first stepping stone for them, and they've created a new business called Orange Horizons. It's headed up by a guy called Sebastian Crozier, who I had the opportunity to meet earlier this week. Orange Horizons has been tasked with expanding Orange into new markets around the world, particularly from a business-to-consumer perspective. Mm-hmm. As you may know, Craig, Orange already has a business services division in South Africa and has for the last 10 years.
That's right. Didn't they make a bid to try and buy a Business Connection last year?
They were strongly rumored to have put in an offer to buy Business Connection. Business Connection was trading under cautionary on the JSE for the longest period of time.
It was six months
or more, if I remember correctly. And the rumor was that it was indeed OBS that was bidding for BCX. However, those talks broke down.
Of course, I hear OBS and I think Old Brown Sherry.
Yes. Well, so they've been here for a while. Now they've decided they want to come into the consumer market. The challenge is, of course, that how are they going to do it? They've been, apparently, according to Sebastian, they've been trying to get into this market for several years, and they've been talking to operators, and they've been considering acquisitions.
Mm.
The most logical acquisition to make is Cell C.
Indeed.
But for one reason or another, they've been unable to get Cell C. I would suggest that it's the shareholders who are not keen to sell at this stage.
And the other thing too is, you know, Orange has made it very clear that they don't just want to be an MVNO in the sense that Virgin is, say, and they want to have a little bit more control, they're suggesting. They want to be really, really heavily involved in whatever network they end up working with.
They've decided they want to do it through an MVNO, a mobile virtual network operator, where you effectively come in and piggyback off the infrastructure of another player.
Mm.
But they've made it very clear that they don't want to do it like Virgin Mobile has done it, which they suggest is more of a brand licensee approach.
Indeed.
They want to come in with a much more robust network approach, where they've got their feelers in. I'm guessing they want to run their own billing systems, OSS, BSS systems. They probably want to run.
Given their experience elsewhere too, and their sort of resources, this makes a lot of sense.
They've got
such huge operations. Particularly if you think about, you know, in Europe, in France, and the UK, and so on, they know how to run a network. This is not the problem. It's finding the right sort of partner and the right deal that suits their requirements, I guess.
And they've hinted that they need some sort of regulatory intervention or regulations to be created to facilitate that relationship that they'll enter into with a network operator. They say they've been talking to companies here for ages, all the major players. So it suggests that they haven't been able to, through negotiation, get what they're looking for. And now they're hoping that ICASA will step in and perhaps help them forge a deal with one of the players. I'm surprised they haven't done a deal with Cell C, but maybe they just haven't got the terms. MVNO terms they would want to be able to offer the products and services they want. They're talking quite aggressively about. I mean, they're giving away very little at the moment.
Indeed.
But they're also hinting that they've got some big product plans down the line. They're coming into the market slowly. You're not going to be able to go and buy a data or voice service from Orange right now. But they're coming in. They're bringing some things into the market to start to build their brand. They are a sponsor of AFCON, and they're here en masse this week and over the next few weeks for the AFCON soccer tournament. And they've also launched a couple of websites. One of them really focused on content. They own a company called Daily Motion, or they're a big shareholder in a company called Daily Motion, which they say is the second biggest online video company in the world after YouTube.
Indeed, in which any office worker has probably been directed to at some point while procrastinating.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, we certainly know the name. It's certainly recognizable in the online video space.
Sure. And they've also launched an e-commerce play, which is, I think, the more interesting of the two. They've partnered, and there's a lot of sort of intrigue around this, but they've partnered with a British company called Expansus PLC. It's a large e-retailer listed in London. Now,
that also until recently had a presence here.
Well, indirectly. So it gets a little complicated. There was a website called expansus.co.za, which was placed into liquidation this week by the court. Expansus.co.za is a franchise partner of Expansus in the UK, so it's not a subsidiary, it's an independent company. They've got themselves into financial trouble. I understand there was some fight between the directors, some disagreement between the directors, and they couldn't resolve it, forcing the company into the situation of liquidation. Expansus in the UK has said that they're still very keen on this market. They haven't decided yet whether they're going to appoint another franchise partner in this market. They work in 51 countries around the world, and South Africa is the only one where they don't have a direct presence. They only work through a franchise partner here. So I spoke to the CEO of Expansus in the UK, and he said to me that that they're looking at the South African market. They're certainly not going to leave the South African market, and they just have to decide whether they're going to go the franchise model or whether they're going to come in directly.
Indeed.
I suspect they may come in directly, given that this is the only market that they don't operate directly in. So anyway, to cut a long story short, Expansus has partnered with Orange, or Orange has partnered with Expansus in the UK.
As an e-commerce offering.
As the e-commerce platform for its delivery in South Africa. And Orange is going to be selling consumers unlocked smartphones,
and
tablets,
exciting
computers.
Products we haven't seen.
Lots of products we haven't seen before, like the Kindle Fire HD, the Sony smartwatch.
Indeed.
And a whole bunch of other products.
But what's interesting too, of course, as you pointed out, Duncan, when we had a little dig around the site earlier this week, is just how competitive the pricing is.
It's very good.
Now, this obviously comes from Orange's ability to buy in bulk and you know, use its sort of global purchasing power.
Well, Orange has a buying agreement with Deutsche Telekom, which is the biggest incumbent operator in Germany. So you've got Orange and Deutsche Telekom, two of the biggest telcos in the world, pooling their buying. So you must know that they're going to be able to they're going to get good deals.
Sure. I mean, this is what you want when you're ordering by the hundreds of thousands as opposed to thousands. And it's just great that this is being passed on. And what we're hoping to see, of course, is that this sort of aggressive pricing will help bring down the pricing from local operators. I mean, if you can pick up we've seen things like the same handset for 1,000 or even 1,500 rand less than you'd pay if you bought it directly from one of the big mobile operators.
Yeah, they sell the Samsung Galaxy S3, for example, for 5,999. And I've seen that regularly advertised at 7.2 and 7.5 for the mobiles on prepaid. So, very aggressive pricing. And
products that we haven't seen. Well, this is great.
Anyway,
certainly worth a look. Then, of course, there's one more Orange link, isn't there?
There's one more Orange link. Not a direct link at this stage, although the two parties have certainly been talking, and they're certainly close alliance business partners in Europe. And that's a new music streaming service, the third online music streaming service to arrive in South Africa after Symphy and...
Symphy, I think you'll find. They'll argue.
Yeah. And what was the other one?
And Rara.
Rara.com.
Rara's a UK-based one. Symphy, of course, comes out of Germany.
Okay.
And Symphy's been... run here by Exact Mobile, who you'll remember were very involved in the content game in terms of ringtones and that sort of thing in recent years. So this is number three. We've gone from no streaming services to three in a matter of months, and just about as many months.
It's amazing. And so this third one is called Deezer, French company. They've been very successful in working with Orange in France, offering their Orange effectively offering their high-end package on their network, and it's been very successful, which of course leads to speculation that Deezer and Orange may look to do something similar here. Orange isn't commenting on it at this stage, but Deezer has started in South Africa on a soft launch basis, they're calling it.
Oh, indeed, just because there's sort of no marketing. You can go and sign up today. We had a look around earlier.
Yeah, it's fully available, and you can subscribe.
And as you said, Orange aren't commenting, but this certainly makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? If you can bundle content with devices, it's a compelling proposition, and a compelling proposition is exactly what you need if you're going to sway people in a market like South Africa, where so many people are already tied to one or other mobile network, and the networks will tell you how difficult it is to woo customers away from other networks.
Yeah. For sure.
The Deezer offering itself looks quite good. 20 million tracks. I see there's two payment options, the sort of full, all the bells and whistles, multiple devices, mobile devices, offline storage, that sort of thing. You're looking at $79.99 a month, I think it was.
That's right. And then the cheaper package is half that.
Right. So,
which doesn't allow you to stream on mobile and tablet and... And you can't download for offline listening.
And, which frankly makes it a little bit difficult to see why you would go for it. If you're the sort of person who's prepared to pay a monthly subscription fee for a streaming service, odds are you have a phone or a tablet or some other device that you want to use it on, or at the very least you want the offline functionality. So really I think the 80 Rand premium option is the one that's going to... they're going to have to to look at it. It's slightly more expensive than Rara and SimFi, but you know, if the interface is good enough and the options are good enough, then perhaps it can win people over.
Yeah, I think the thing to watch is if Orange gets around to launching an MVNO in South Africa, I think the thing to watch will be whether they partner with Deezer to offer. To offer it as a value-added service on contracts and
or
packages.
Bundled into high-end packages or something.
Exactly,
yeah.
which they've done in France, so there's precedent for that.
Indeed.
Craig, we're going to move along very quickly because we are running out of time.
So other news this week. Second big story of the week, one of the other big ones, was Vodacom and Wireless G. Wireless G, of course, is the wireless company that offers connectivity on Mango flights now. They had a big launch about this last year, and they are in the process of taking Vodacom to court. Well, they have filed papers, urgent application. It seems that they signed a deal with Vodacom some years back that granted them exclusive rights on any sort of wireless offerings that Vodacom wanted to enter into, including things like what we're talking about now all over the world is wireless handoff, of course, to deal with congested networks. And this is where you hand off to a wireless network in packed areas instead of using 3G networks. And this hopefully lifts some load on the network. Wireless G is saying that they had exclusive rights with Vodacom to do this. Vodacom, meanwhile, it appears, has been looking at other players to fulfill its wireless needs. Looks like, this fight's going to play out.
Extraordinary breakdown, and we haven't heard the full story of what exactly has happened here and why Vodacom and Wireless G are at each other's throats, but it's amazing to watch because, you know, these companies were partners. They should be partners. They're co-shareholders in this business.
Indeed,
so quite ugly. Anyway, go and take a look at the website. We've got the full details the story up there, and we'll be keeping a close eye on that one. Good, Craig. I think we need to skip forward to our to the winner. Skip straight through to the app and product of the week. No, we need to cover the winner and loser of the week first. Craig, who's the winner this week?
I think, given a presentation I attended this morning at Vodacom World in Midrand, I think the winner this week has to be Sony. Sony, for years and years, was the darling of the electronics world, a big Japanese manufacturer, probably best known for a long time for the Walkman. But then, you know, Sony's kind of fallen off the radar lately, and as one analyst I spoke to earlier said, that for many years it sort of lost its cool factor. For a long time, Sony was terribly hip, and lately it hasn't been. You know, particularly in the smartphone market, we've seen Sony Sony just trying to play catch-up. And that seems set to change. This morning I got to play with Sony's new high-end handset. It's called the Xperia Z.
And it looks amazing.
And it does look and feel absolutely amazing. It's a 5-inch display, full HD, 1080p display, great battery life, very, really vivid display. They've also integrated with Sony's sort of Bravia brand of television. They've tied this into the display. And this is really, you know, the first of the new super phones we're going to see this year. Obviously, we're going to see similarly spec phones from Samsung and HTC and even some of the Chinese players like Huawei and ZTE later this year. But by getting out of the gates first, it feels like Sony's really sort of sending a clear message that they're serious about making a go of it in this space, and that they don't just want to keep abreast of other Android players, but they actually want to be something of a pack leader, which is great.
But I think it also sets the tone for the Android, in quote mark, superphones that we're going to see this year, because they're all going to have these 5-inch screens, aren't they?
And they're all going to be full HD.
They're all going to be 10.
They're all going to have quad-core processors. They're all going to have 2 gigs of RAM. You know,
All four.
And this one in particular has two. But, you know, I was so impressed with the device this morning. It really looks like it could stand up even against some of the other superphones that may only come out in 2 months' time. And it's also a brave move to do this, to go out there and set the bar, knowing that others could perhaps beat it. But it's just a superb-looking device.
It's probably a good timing, though. I mean, you probably want to get into the market before the Samsung Galaxy S4 just
completely just dominates it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It gives them a bit of time to get some going. Unfortunately, we won't see it for a while, and we don't know what it's going to cost. It certainly looks like it's going to cost a lot. It'll be in the usual range of high-end phones. I imagine in this country, 6 to 8 thousand rand range.
It's going to be here in April, you said, hey?
Yeah, they're saying April, possibly May. They're not being too committal. They're going with Q2.
That'll be before the S4, probably, then.
Indeed. But in the meantime, at least they're building some hype about it. The specs are out there. You can read up about it on the site. I've got a little bit of a rundown on it. But looks like a superb device.
And you can dip it in the bath if you want.
And this is interesting too. Yeah, you can dip it in the bath. It's supposedly got some sort of crack-resistant and drop-resistant mechanisms built in. And it's made to be a little bit rugged, even though it's not, this isn't common on high-end phones. It's normally sort of dedicated phones you see that on.
Yeah.
And as part of the demonstration, it was dropped in a bucket of water in front of us and came out and seemed to survive the process. So, yeah, I think it's a great handset. I can't wait to get hold of an actual review model and play with it.
Does it have little rubber?
It has got some little port covers.
Okay.
I think that's probably a requirement. They haven't found a way to get around this yet.
I've always found those irritating on these waterproof phones.
Yes, me too. I've always found them a little bit niggly.
How does it look on the Sony?
They're very flush, which is nice. They don't look too problematic. And of course, the only one you have to deal with a lot is the charged one for the micro USB.
Right.
But the other nice thing is actually just little attention to detail. The feel of the unlock button, for example, which is, as Sony points out, the button you press more than anything else. They've really considered it, and it's just a beautifully designed piece of equipment.
Okay. Good. Well, let me deal with the loser then. Our loser this week is Microsoft. Simply because they didn't meet their own deadline to launch Xbox Music in South Africa.
They were meant to do that by the end of last year.
They were promising it would be here by the end of December. Xbox Music, of course, is the whole revamped music streaming service from Microsoft. It looks fantastic. I've used it. I've changed my computer settings to American and plugged in a voucher. and it's great. I wish it would get here sooner. But Microsoft has run into some difficulties. I suspect it's around licensing issues, although I'm not sure.
It usually is with these things.
But they missed their deadline, and we now have three alternative streaming music services in the country, plus iTunes.
Indeed, and of course, Microsoft, you know, this isn't exactly going to put them out of the game, particularly when it comes to things like Xbox, and once there's the integration and the new, much-hyped Xbox hits the market. But psychologically, it is troubling to see that there's all these other options, and people are going to sign up for other things. And sure, while you can get out of the other things generally at a month's notice, it's just people get used to things, and it is absolutely about perception, and it just seems like this is a missed opportunity for Microsoft.
Particularly by not beating Apple to the market, I think.
Indeed.
Perhaps less so these smaller European streaming services. I think if Spotify had come here, it would have been another big blow for Microsoft.
Absolutely, and perhaps they will. You never know.
Perhaps they will. I'd love to see Spotify in South Africa. Anyway, that takes care of the loser. And so the only thing left to do this week, Craig, as always, is to talk about our Apple product of the week.
That's right. This week you've got a product. I've got an app. I'll tell you about my app quickly, if you like.
No, actually, I have an app as well, but you go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. My app this week is something called Time Hop. It's available for Android and iOS, and it seems a little bit gimmicky at first, but I've been having a great deal of fun with it. You can sign up on the web, it's timehop.com, and basically what it does is it trawls your social media once you put in the accounts. It's got options for Facebook, Twitter, Foursquare, you know, all of the usuals, Flickr and this sort of thing. And it then sends you a report every morning with a breakdown of what you posted or did a year ago. And it's a great reminder of, you know, old events and birthdays, and you find very, very amusing things. It's also nice to see what you were, you know, what you were talking about and what was piquing your interest a year ago. In some instances on the app, you can go as far back as some of your feeds go. So in the case of my Twitter, I can go back as far as 2009. And it's just a sort of cutesy little app that sends me a reminder every morning, takes 2 minutes to look at, and quite often puts a smile on my face. It's available for free, and you can get all the info at timehop.com.
Which platforms did you say?
It's for Android or iOS.
Okay, cool. I'll take a look at that. Good. My pick of the week is something called Goodreads. I haven't checked which platform it's available for, but I'll include that in the...
I've seen the website. I haven't seen what apps are out there, but okay. I've certainly used the web version.
Well, there's certainly an Android app available. I'm sure there's an iOS app available, but I'll include a list of the available platforms or a link to the app website with the post. But it's a very cool little app. Craig, you've used it. Do you want to talk a bit about how it works?
So my understanding is it's essentially a recommendation app for reading, right?
It's like a social network for reading, yeah.
Yeah, indeed, and to link you to your friends and who's reading what and who likes what, and this is great, assuming of course that you have friends with similar taste.
Sure.
I've added some people only to have them recommend some things that I'm pretty sure I wouldn't like, but this is just like with any social network, you just have to do some vetting.
No, it's pretty cool, and you know, it allows you to post a quick review when you finish reading a book and share that with your friends, and I think it works pretty well. I haven't used it extensively yet, and I know it's been around for a while, but I've just signed up for it the first time using a Facebook login. But really, really good, and worth checking out if you're an avid reader and you're looking for something new to read.
And it's part of the sort of growing space we're seeing for different content of sort of curation and social recommendation, and in that sense I think it's great. It's a nice addition and nice to have it for something like books that often fall by the wayside when we're talking about tech.
Absolutely. Excellent. Craig, anything else?
No, that's it for this week, I think.
Yep.
And if you have any comments, you can leave them under the post or drop us an email.
info@techcentral.co.za. From Craig Wilson and myself, Duncan MacLeod, have a great weekend and next week, and we'll chat to you again next Friday. Ciao.